Got it. Let's go. Okay, welcome. Thursdays at 11 a.m. are QT conversations. We are live on LinkedIn. We are recording this conversation for the QT community. But if you're a qualified tutor member, you are invited to join the, well, somebody called it a panel recently. Never occurred to me that this was a panel, but I guess that's what we're doing, especially because there's a lot of clever in this room, which you'll discover in just a second. James Holden, double congratulations to you on your awesome t-shirt. That was exactly what we needed this Thursday morning. It is not as bright and fresh outside as it should be, but your t-shirt is bringing it. Lucy Mabaki, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your first Thursday. I'm so glad you took the screen on. Nice
Thanks
to
for
see
having
you.
me. Good to see you all.
Oh, fantastic. You made Odette's day this morning by giving her such lovely feedback about the business club. She was so chuffed that it hit the spot for you.
Oh yeah, she made my day as well by giving me a very generously a bit more of her time and having an amazing chat with her. So yeah, she's someone quite special, isn't she?
She absolutely is. So I've just submitted the final draft of my book. And in the acknowledgements to my book, I have described Odette as the biggest heart I've ever met. And I keep reflecting on it because that's just what it's all about with her. So I'm really, really happy that that's hit the spot for you. So, Lucy, the context, this is QT Conversations. This is an open forum discussion. You are here on the panel. We are live on LinkedIn. We are talking about coaching and tutoring. Coaching and tutoring has a few angles, doesn't it? It has the coaching that we do for our students. It has the coaches who support us and challenge us. And there are questions about the context of coaching and calling yourself a coach and whether or not that feels legitimate, whether coaching is too fluffy, whether there's research and evidence behind the power of coaching, and basically what we think about coaching. Discussed coaching in a newsletter a month or so ago, and the response was immense. And people were like, "Yes, I'm so glad that you've mentioned that that's part of my role." So let's start there. And Jenna was just saying some things in the green room before we started our conversation that I think we'll launch in with here. Can you give us some context and then some ideas here, Jenna? Go for it.
Yeah, so for me, one of the big things that's come up recently and is an ongoing conversation and something that, well, actually that there's two parts of the conversation that we're having previously that actually I think are relevant. One is dealing with safeguarding. Okay, so three parts actually. So it's dealing with safeguarding, planning for it, dealing with incidents, all of that. There's the supervision side of that, but there's also like alongside that and kind of in between all the other bits is the side of whether you want to call it coaching or whatever it ends up being like to talk things through to know where it's going. Like, do you have actual concerns about a young person? Do you just need to offload thoughts and think things through in a different way? All that sort of thing. And I think that that goes really into looking after yourself and all of that and your own well-being and all of that. There is also then the third part, which is something that I've been really struggling with at the moment, is my health. I don't have great health. I have been really, really struggling since January and trying to keep the same workload, the same scope, and kind of dealing with things as they come. I have not had a day off since my actual properly planned time off for surgery recovery in early January, and I have so severely needed it. I am one of those people that the reason I do what I do is because I absolutely love it, I live for it, and I was working while I was in my hospital bed, completely delirious. Not a good shout. And I think that, especially like with having had some really quite big safeguarding incidents happen over the last couple of weeks, that has meant that my current few days off I had to cancel, I think has brought a lot to the front in how do you deal with parents? How do you figure out how to talk about these things with parents, with whoever you're working with the young people directly and all of that, and with yourself and be okay with it? And for me, I am really lucky with the network that I have really intentionally built. And I think part of that is where QT comes in as well, because really I have regular meetings with my business mentor, one of the challenges of which is they are also a parent of children that I'm currently working with, and those are quite complex young people. Yeah, and it's why they understand so well what we're doing and why they believe in the way that I work so thoroughly. But it's also a challenge when it's also their young person that are having these safeguarding incidents, and really balancing for me, for him to be that person for me, and then I need to talk this through with someone else because some safeguarding incidents has come up and I need to work it through before I can address it properly with a parent. He is a person I go to. And that's been a really interesting balance, and has that, along with offloading about other things and quite technical things and jargony things, has really made me think about what do I need? I can't put all of these things on one person. Like, it's all well and good having a therapist or having supervision or something along those lines, or having a coach, but there are different aspects and you really, really need lots of different people. I have personal childhood trauma and all of that as well. And that comes to the forefront with these things. And I think that the reason I work so well is something we've talked about before. I don't depersonalize. I put myself into everything that I do. And it's why I get the results I do. It's why I can connect with people, young people in particular, because they see that I'm being me and that means something, because a lot of people can't or don't or whatever. And I think it's that village approach. You can't just have one coach or supervision or even therapist. You need to have someone that is like a therapist, completely detached from everything to offload and spew to. At the moment, thanks to Bet and Cutie, I now have someone who is genuinely specialist in education, especially educational needs and tutoring, who is kind of like also a mentoring role, even though it's a more practical doing stuff role. Theoretically, it's a VA role, but I think in practice it's a lot more than that. And then the business mentor, and I think all of these things overlap and don't entirely compartmentalize. And I think that's really interesting. And then talking about things like in the QT WhatsApp groups and having conversations and calls with various QT members is really, really interesting, and in how that all fits together and how we do compartmentalize and de-stress and just talk shit through. Sometimes you just
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's what these conversations are, right? So so there's so much there. Let's see if we can pull on a few threads. So that last piece about the WhatsApp group and sort of talking stuff through, for me, is all about the safe, skilled and supported conversation. And when I spoke with Kate Carney from Gaia, she said to me, why supported? I understand safe and I understand skilled, but why supported? And of course, she did understand the reason. She was just giving me that opportunity and that provocation. But for me, that supported element, and Lucy, maybe that's what's been resonating with you, is that opportunity to actually not be alone and to debrief and to reflect and to bounce ideas off and to actually amplify your understanding and learn how much you possibly do know, right? From being in these conversations. And Jenny, you know, you come across with such authority and such experience, but also with this genuine, vulnerable honesty that obviously resonates with your clients. And that is hard. It is a hard way to live. We are our business. We don't want to depersonalize because tutoring is a highly relational discipline. But in order to support ourselves, we have to be able to debrief. We have to be able to have boundaries. We have to be able to make space for ourselves. And those things are hard, especially because we're not the types, right? We're not the boundary types. We're the all-in types. Everyone's nodding in this room. So, Lucy, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, God, so much there that I relate to, definitely. Like, you know, there are guidelines and there are, you know, contracts and rules that say this is what we do and this is how we behave and this is exactly what we would do in that situation. They're there for a reason. I'm glad that they're there. They protect us. But there are situations when, like, you need to be human, and sometimes that kind of takes over. I've definitely been in those situations myself. And then looking back, I thought, oh, that on paper, that wasn't really the right thing to do. But then I thought, well, the person in front of me had a need and I was the only person that could answer that need in that moment. They needed support, you know, they didn't need someone to say, okay, let's push that grade from a B to an A. They needed someone to say, I'm listening to you. And it so often crosses over that boundary, you know, those some of the kids, you know, that you work with, they'll use that hour, if they have an hour with you, as an opportunity to, you know, they don't know that they're doing it, but they're not okay. And they can't study for that hour unless they're okay. So they have to get through 45 minutes of not being okay to do 15 minutes worth of work. And that can be on a good day sometimes. So yeah.
That's so beautiful. So Sam Moyne, who's one of our business tutoring coaches over here, he has a fantastic program. He says, fine, I'm fine, stands for feelings inside not expressed. Yeah, so where you're saying, Lucy, they're not okay. That's already a level for you to have a relationship with them when you know whether or not they're okay and you can give them space to be not okay and to express those feelings inside. That's huge. I guess my question to you then is, do you feel equipped?
No.
Thanks for being honest.
Sometimes, yeah, you know, and then sometimes no. It's like, it's such a fine line to try and guide them back to the objective, right? And say, look, this is why we're here, but to also say, yeah, I am listening to you and I am totally equipped to do that, to be human and sit in front of them and say, yeah, okay, this is a safe space. But at the same time, it's like, well, then they think it's a safe space. So then they start kind of, you know, letting their guard down, letting the boundaries down. And that's when it's like, okay, so how do I kind of like reel it back from that space of like, I'm listening to you, to I'm, you know, I'm the tutor here and we've got a job to do. And then, you know, it's kind of quite hard to find your way back sometimes. I find that as a parent as well, that can be quite difficult. Just like, you know, I'm playing with my kid and then one minute I'm like, you can't do that. She's like, yeah, but we're playmates. I'm like, no, but I'm your mum, so you can't do that. So it's kind of, yeah.
Switch hats.
Exactly. Switch hats. Very, yeah, and it's exhausting.
And it's also what Jenna said about our own, you can use the word trauma or you can use the word baggage or you can use the word history, but our own stories that we're living do impact the way we show up with our students, with our children, with the parents who are talking to us. Mm. There are so many stories that are intertwined here. Georgina, I know that you have a ton of insights in this area. What are your thoughts?
Yes, very, very familiar listening to Lucy and Jenna. Like you kind of work quite hard as a tutor to build that connected relationship with your students. And you have to show them that you're a safe person for them to talk to, for them to be vulnerable and have a productive learning experience with you, which means that at any point they're in pain, they're struggling, they've got something that they need to let out, it's going to come your way. Mm. And yeah, that's not only is it difficult to deal with because we have that small insight into their life and we don't actually have any authority over what happens to them, we can just listen to them, give advice and maybe signpost it somewhere else, but also it's hard for us because with empathy pretty much all you can do is listen and take that on and worry about them until you come back next week and be like, are you okay now?
Have you seen Brené Brown's video on empathy?
Yeah, and in theory, it's very, very helpful. In practice, it's very, very difficult.
It's hard. To go down into the pit with them and say, come, I'll help you up, is hard because you run the risk of getting stuck there yourself.
Mm. Yeah, it's very difficult to do. But I have kind of learned with some things that something was shared and I spent a full week feeling sick, like, oh my god, did I help this child? Has it got worse? Am I ever going to know how bad things are for them when I go back next week and they're bouncing around the room and they're perfect?
Because they're so much more resilient than you, because they've had these opportunities to fix their problems that you haven't seen or known about. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
And she's been sitting there worrying about it all week. Oh, I know. I do this all the time as well. Yeah.
So I must bring
not on
in
the timesheet either, is it? You're not, you know, no one's.
You can't be billed for this. You can't bill for this bit. But Lucy, I just, it's important for me to share with you at this stage that we run supervision circles on Wednesdays at 11 every fortnight for this reason. It is run by a coach who is a former teacher, and she holds space for us to reflect and debrief. Georgina, were you there last week?
No, I couldn't make it, but I'm planning to.
Yeah, the feedback was absolutely fantastic, because when you have a safe space to debrief like this, you can let go of the things that are stressing you out so that you can get on with your life, because it is not sustainable to carry other people's stuff. You know, Jenna mentioned before, I've got a business coach, but she's a mesh now because they're a mesh now because they're a parent. And so, you know, all of those enmeshments need us to deal with them. They need us to recognize them and deal with them. And sometimes a clean space, the supervision circles, become very helpful for that. So Jenna, I would suggest pop in and speak with Jack next week, 11 a.m. on Wednesdays, and take the things that you can't speak about with the business coach there. What she's powerful at doing is creating a safe space that you can then walk away from afterwards, right? It's not live on LinkedIn. Yeah, it's something very, very intimate and special. James Holton, we have not heard from you yet. I would like to know, and I know the answer already, to be quite honest, do you feel that you coach your students?
Yes, I do.
Tell us why and how.
So how I coach them, it depends on the student, really, to be honest. Because I've got one student who's, he's 7 years old, and he's a genius. He's solving like quadratic equations and, you know, high level GCSE math.
He's 7 years old, did you say?
Yes.
Okay.
He's 7 years old. So my job in that case isn't really to say, my job's more of a motivator, really, in that situation. It's more sort of making him want to do that, making him...
We need more information, James. So a parent, the seven-year-old's parent saw him doing brilliantly in maths and got him a maths tutor. Tell us that story.
So basically, it was actually the grandmother of the child.
Love that.
And that's the parent. So at the time he was five when we first connected.
Oh.
So it's quite a journey.
We love this, we're drinking it up.
It's quite a journey, to be fair, because at first I really thought, I didn't think I was the right person for the job to take this on. But then after speaking with the grandmother, she really wanted me to give it a go. And me and the child, we really connected really well. And it was brilliant. But my job is coaching him as well, and not, because he's way ahead of everyone else as well, I'm trying to tell him to, you know, not put down other kids who he's ahead of and things like that, because he's like, oh, this works really easy and things like that. So I'm trying to keep him like he's humble, but at the same time make him know that he is special, that he has got a special talent and ability as well. But
what language do you have for that? Because, you know, firstly, you know, in the classroom, is somebody providing proper work for him on his level?
No.
Right.
No. That's and he's bored in the class.
Is he playing up?
So, I don't think he's playing up, but I think he might be. I'd have to have a chat with the dad about that. He's not talked to me about that particularly, but he said I want to do things like this all the time. He's really bored, bless him, because it's too easy, you know, and the teacher can't, I guess, do stuff. They've got to cater for the whole class. Not, it'd be very difficult to, he needs that one-on-one support really to help him.
Are there neurodiversity issues here?
No, I wouldn't say so. He's very He is, he's very communicative. Yeah,
Go
I
on,
don't.
Jenna. Ask the questions. Go on.
Being a specialist in neurodiversity, first of all, generally speaking, gifted and talented is a neurodiversity. And to the level that you're describing, there is undoubtedly some form of neurodiversity, very likely. Being communicative does not equal not neurodiverse. I am on paper so severely high needs that I should be in supported living. And I mean, you can hear me talk, I can communicate, and I was that young person that at 7 was being invited to do courses at university level in maths. And
Go on.
I think that makes one. So this ties into the concept of coaching and stuff. One of the things I find really challenging is, and I can feel it right now, is when something feels, so this is where I'm very autistic. My sense of like social justice and just justice, when I get that triggered and when it's particularly personal, I find it really, really hard to separate and to take a moment. And it was why I wasn't like trying to dive in, but.
Jenna, let me give you a second then. The reason why I've called on you here is because James is in this awesome position of working with a student. He's been working with him for 2 years. He's using it as an example of how he's stepped sideways. And so rather than teaching the child maths, he's motivating, mentoring, coaching. And it's as much about self-regulation and social skills and not putting other people down and coping in the classroom as it is with enjoying his abilities.
I guess to me, a question might be where this young person has clearly got so much interest and want, and you've already mentioned that he has said that he wants to do this all the time. Why can't he have this all the time? What, and I have some options for answers if you don't have any, and I'm quite happy to talk that through with you at some point if you would like. What is there that's missing, or is there anything that you feel like you would want to do or could do more to get that to happen in some way?
It's an advocacy question, isn't it?
Yeah, advocacy and kind of, yeah.
We're really invested in your student now, James. What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would, I mean, it's a difficult situation because I'm not sure where I can sort of step over. What line I can step over and things like that, and what questions I can ask the parents and things like that. I need help on that and a bit of guidance, to be fair. But I think he does need he needs a specialist environment for him to really thrive, because it's not just maths he's good at. We're using online software and the computer, and he's picked it up like that, like quicker than all the adults. So it's not just maths that he's really good at. He can read, like when I give him a question to read, he reads fantastically well as well. So I think he does need to really thrive, he needs a different environment
Can
for
I
that, but I'm
ask?
not sure how I'd approach that personally. Saying that to the parents, and whether getting that's an option, because it might be expensive to get that for the kid and things like that. So I'm not sure how I'd approach that personally.
Go
Can I
on,
ask
Gemma.
two questions?
Yeah.
One is what do you struggle with this young person, taking out talking to the parents about any of that side of things? What is there anything that you struggle with or are kind of almost struggling with the young person?
There's nothing in particular that I'm struggling with, I'd say. There's a few focus issues sometimes, but that's pretty standard, I'd say, for a 7-year-old. I wouldn't say that's an issue as such. There's no particular issues with that, to be fair.
Not really asking about issues, I guess. I more mean like, is there anything that kind of sticks in your head that you want to, that you feel like you want to do more of or less of, or you don't quite know that you're getting right, or you don't quite, that you're questioning?
Sometimes I question whether I'm doing the right work with him sometimes. But when he doesn't understand something at first, but when it clicks, that's great. But whether I've got the right path built, laid out for him, that sometimes I do question that. If I should be more specific, or do I need to sort of more go with things that he wants to be learning? That's sometimes I do question that.
May I just ask a question, James?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a student like this before, or is this the first time you've experienced this?
The first time I've experienced this.
And were you aware, like, before the student came to you, that of the nature of the student?
Yes, I was, yeah. So yeah. Initially, at the start, I mentioned that I was spoke to the, because it was the grandmother of the student who wanted to take me on. And I didn't think I was the right fit for the student.
Mm.
But then she really liked me. So we had a go, and it really clicked well. And the student, you know, it's really happy. We can have a good chat together, and it just went really, really well. I didn't think it would be the right fit, but it was a really good fit.
What do you most enjoy about working with him?
I enjoy his enthusiasm, because he's really enthusiastic about his maths, and I really enjoy challenging him as well, making him, because he's not normally challenged in the classroom in maths, and I like to give him that challenge, make him feel like he's got something to a challenge for, because I think in the classroom he's not really challenged enough. I asked, what have you done in the classroom? And we have a joke and just say, oh, well, I guess you thought that was easy, didn't you, sort of thing. And then we have a good laugh together about that.
You must really look forward to those sessions with you, James.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, he does.
I wonder what they would have done if they hadn't found you.
I'm not sure. I'm glad. I think they're really happy, to be fair.
And it sounds like they realised that there was a need. Sorry, Jenna, go ahead.
I was just saying, it sounds like, James, that you are as well looking forward to it and enjoying it and happy with it.
Yeah, I love it. It's I love what I do. But obviously, like you said, Jenna, it's hard work, isn't it? when you're doing this for hours and hours a week, and going off topic a little bit, I did feel a little bit burnt out over the sort of past week. I was just, because it's a lot. It's very intense, especially when you're dealing with these types of students, very, very intense, isn't it, to
Intense
keep
is a
up.
good word. Intense is a really, really good word. Very, very close, isn't it? And actually, that exchange was quite intense as well. And thank you for following it through, James. Thank
I
you
got
for
grilled there.
it. No, it was so beautiful. And I'll tell you a secret. I just messaged Georgina in the chat and I said, "How wow is this?" And Georgina said, "I'm watching this magic unfold. Lucky child, he's about to have his life changed." Yeah, that sometimes these seeds that we drop for each other, they have immense ripple effects. And maybe not just for that child, maybe for other students that we're all working with as well. Sue, I'd love to bring you in at this point. Would that be all right? We're talking about the role of coaching in supporting our students. We will pivot to business coaching before the end of this conversation, but could you tell us a bit about how you coach your students, please?
I think I've said before in these conversations that it's changed hugely post-COVID.
Yes.
I think before COVID, I was delivering education more than anything. You know, the children were fairly independent. They came in, there was an understanding of what they wanted. Since then, I would say, a good third of every session is spent regulating them, maybe redirecting them. I get them children that are coming in and their behavior. And you know, there were the odd student beforehand that whose maybe their manners were not quite what was expected in my classroom. But again and again, it's sort of saying to children, well, you can't present your work like that. And secondary students will show me books that are covered in highlighter and bubbles and stuff and drawings, and sort of saying, okay, is that the you want to present? And I think that's really key to the coaching
That's a
is,
powerful question.
well, I've always had in my mind, in general in life, where do I want to be in 2 years' time? You know, when you get a knee-jerk reaction or you're in a difficult situation, where do I want this situation to be in 2 years' time? And with the students, that seems to be something. With the GCSE students, it's really difficult because they don't have 2 years. You know, they don't have that time to turn it around. But I'm finding so many students that are coming in, and we're having to really go back to basics of not only plugging gaps in the topics they're being taught, but the real basics of how to study and how to approach things and how to focus. And to be honest, I'm finding that spilling into conversations with parents as well.
I had a fantastic conversation with Jacqueline, our supervision circles coach, last week. I said to her that I felt like COVID was, you know, that phrase, stop the world, I want to get off. That's what COVID felt like to me. Like, I got a chance to get off the world. And I'm actually finding re-entry very difficult. And I think I'm not the only one. And I think that, like you're saying, Sue, we've forgotten some of the basics of just how to participate in everyday life.
And I think the nature of the slippage, if you like, has been different for each family.
Slippage is
So,
interesting.
you know, I tutor sisters. Their mum is a teacher. I actually tutored their mum through some of her pre-PGCE work. So it's an ongoing relationship. And to be honest, these two little girls are horrendous. They, you know, they just are. And I tutored one of them pre-COVID, and I'm spending so much time saying, no, I'm sorry, you're not talking to me that way. Or, no, I'm sorry, it's no good coming in here moaning that mama's taken your phone away from you because I've heard the way you talk to her. And, you know, no, I'm sorry, I don't actually care if school has this. And I probably wouldn't be quite this harsh with children that were new or hadn't had that long-term family relationship with, But I don't care if your teacher doesn't mind if you just, I'm not a great, I'm not heavy on presentation. I'm not heavy on following schemes. I'm very much a where are we today? What is our need today type tutor. And I'm quite happy to throw sessions out the window if they've struggled at school at stuff. But when they get their school books out, it's like this presentation is shocking. It's just shocking. And I do think that that sort of, I'm very much minded of that scene in Nativity, which is a terrible film, but there's a bit where,
My kids watch it all year round.
well, I used to put it on whenever I was doing a school production because it sort of grounded me. But the scene where he says to the boy, I don't think you're a bad kid, but if you keep doing things like this, people will think you're a bad kid. And
Right.
I think trying to explain, and interestingly, James, I have a student not nearly as far ahead as yours, but he's year four and sort of I would say about year 10 level. And with him, there's this constant, well, the others can't do it and school's easy and I can't be bothered with English because and that the whole process of that is saying you've got to fit in the world. The world is not, it's not going to revolve around you. Your family might, but you've got to think, what do the rest of, what do my classmates think? What will it be like when I get out into the world when I've got a job?
This is really, really complex. There's a fine balance between masking and adapting. There's a fine balance between making yourself able to function in the world and breaking yourself to fun, bashing off your sparkly bits as we've spoken about before.
I think it's really important that the children know that what they feel is valid. If they feel that school is boring, they're perfectly entitled to feel that. It's what they do with that information. So, when my student says, oh, what we did was too easy, have you told mummy? Have you told her how you feel? And there is a dialogue with the parents about what's going on in school. Have you had a conversation? Is what different? I mean, when I was a TA, I can remember being the differentiation for a gifted and talented child in English, and we worked through my Open University materials together
Oh,
as part of his
fantastic.
differentiation. School
Did you get
can
the child to
be
do your
done.
assessments for you?
So, he actually, I ran it for a while, I ran a creative writing class in a local club, and he used to come along to the adult creative writing class. And very occasionally, his mum would take him off to browse to buy a book because somebody would say that they didn't think that their piece of writing for that week was like 10-year-old friendly.
Right.
But I think there's a
Come back in
distinction
10 minutes,
between,
type thing.
yeah, there were sort of like, there's going to be a bit of a scene in this piece, so perhaps he'd like to go and get some,
Let me see if I can pull on some of the themes, Sue. So the first thing that really resonated for me that was that you are a role model type coach, aren't you? You're a no nonsense, I hear you, I see you, and this is what I expect from you type. And that's what the parents have chosen in sending to you. And so there's a sort of, I won't call it co-parenting, but you're sort of supporting the adulting of these children. Yeah, you're sort of raising them up and giving them a sense of what's expected from them. And that's part of your role, which I find really interesting. And I think that there's a lot of trust sitting behind that, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And one of the things that I think I have struggled with personally is the level to which parents will say, what do I do? I had one in last week who was just saying, what do I do next? And I kept saying, I can only give you the options. I can't, your child better than I do. I can only give you the options.
And the fact that we've got a generation of children being raised by parents who are really not sure. Have you seen there's a play, Dear Evan Hansen? It's about suicidal ideation and teenagers. It's a fantastic musical. And the mum, her first The first song in the show is Does Anybody Have a Map? Yes.
Yeah.
The mums are saying, the mum in this context is saying, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Hmm. And that's sort of where we're sitting as a generation of parents. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Could be that we're not supposed to know and we're just not comfortable being uncomfortable. Or it could be that the next generation's expectations and context are so different from the ones that we grew up with that we just don't have the tools. But it brings us back to that idea that Jenna was saying of it takes a village of support for us to be able to be that supportive adult for the children. When the mum comes to you and said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next, and you can say, I can give you some options, you're sitting from a point of you've got nothing on it. Do you know what I mean? It's not triggering for you. It doesn't make you feel vulnerable. So you can give that coaching guidance without it being implicating on your outcomes, on your life outcomes. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think quite often I can think of one particular student where the dialogue was with mum was, okay, we need to deal with you before we can actually decide on a program to deal with your child.
And did you feel equipped, Sue?
Am I convinced she's gone away completely? No. I mean, this particular student, I'm fairly convinced mum will be looking for a different tutor because what she wants is someone to take over. It's not, I'm not concerned about it. It's somebody who wants to get their child through home educated through 5 GCSEs in a year. And they've not been in school for 3 years. My options, I guess, were you can reduce the number of subjects, or you can defer taking these exams. But if your child hasn't been in school for 3 years, they aren't going to cope with. I mean, from my point of view, I can up my hours because home ed stuff is the stuff of dreams, isn't it? We can do it during the day without it impacting. You can always squeeze in some more hours for home edding. But would it be the right thing? No, the child would be set up to fail. And I refuse to do extra hours that I know is going to really impact on that child's mental health.
Beautiful. Beautiful. The integrity there is beautiful. I want to pull back to one more theme that you pulled on, Sue, and maybe we'll open up to the group again, about the child telling the parent how they felt. Yeah, the child saying to the parent, that was too difficult, or that was too easy, or this maths teacher doesn't stretch me, or whatever it is. And then the parent or the child learning to advocate for themselves in the wider world and actually building up children who know how to advocate for themselves. Jenna, what are your thoughts?
I feel like that is 90% of what I do. In a house where
Jenny,
most of my life children were seen out. Oh, sorry, I'll turn the video off.
Is that better? Thank you. Yes, thank you. That's really
good. Joy of the countryside. And I feel like for whatever reason, I don't see the same changes that other people seem to post-COVID. I think that's really interesting in terms of the way that children advocate for themselves and the way that they talk about some of these things and some of that and manners and stuff like that. I think it's really interesting. But I also think the way that I approach it, the fundamentals of any of this, like to me, doing 5 GCSEs in a year after having a few years out of education isn't usually a problem. And that's, I think, because of the way that I see those exams. I don't see those exams as these really big academic things, because really it's about the skills. It's about being able to say what you think and in a way that genuinely communicates with other people. And I think that something, I mean, I know I'm quite specialist in the way that I work and the children that I work with and the families that I work with, in that I specialize in neurodiversity, in trauma, in quite complex trauma, and kind of those sorts of young people that have been out of school for a while a lot of the time. But that seeing yourself and saying who you are in a way that is with integrity. I think that word, Julie, is so important, integrity, and that specific type of honesty. And I have three rules, and one of them is integrity. The other two are communication, and I think, oh, I missed the other one. My brain is doing that thing again. But I think that there's
No, I need to hear the third one. Don't move on. Integrity, communication, and
my brain is doing weird jumps. Where did it go? Oh my God, I do not know. What
it's
is it?
okay, love. It's okay. Come
That's
back to
okay.
it.
I don't know why I'm having a
That's
very
okay. But I'm just going to pull on Georgina for a second, because she's pointed out that Georgina, you said that you feel like your students today are more emotionally literate than your students 10 years ago were.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, there's always been a need to kind of have those conversations about their well-being and to encourage them to share. And I know for myself that when I was at school, I would experience anxiety, not know what it was, have physical symptoms, and they were quite scary. So I would open up those conversations. Now I'll just say to a teenager, how's this week been? And they'll very honestly tell me about whether they were struggling and what they were experiencing, and they fully understand it, and it blows my mind. It makes my job a lot easier, but this never used to happen.
It makes your job a lot easier. I sort of believe you.
I
Because
mean, yeah, then there's going to be
the
a
first
problem.
part's easier, the finding out bit's easier,
Yeah.
but helping seems much sludgier.
Yeah, but it's nice that they can have a conversation and that fully understand it. Well, we're not fully understand it, but better understand what they're talking about. Like, it's not that I'm
I
saying.
think,
Go on,
sorry,
say.
I think that depends on age. You work with teenagers, don't you?
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's true there. I think with the so I'm about 50-50 primary and secondary. I think with the primary students, a lot of them haven't had post-COVID. They haven't had time in nursery schools or play groups. They don't have those social skills and the ability to recognise. So I wonder what your experience will be in maybe 3, 4 years, when
Yes.
your students are the ones that missed, say, their early years, their year one
That's really interesting, because
time.
currently you're working with children who missed their year 7, year 6, year 7.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is probably quite accurate, because then they're struggling with that maths and science foundations that are
Yeah.
making them think that they're not good at maths and science. But they're very good at talking about how much it stresses them out.
Aren't we all? Okay, we have 8 minutes left and we haven't discussed business coaching, but and that's fine. I think the question that's resonated most in this conversation that we just needed a bit more space with, and Jenna, if you can put your camera back on, it would be so nice for me. It's so much nicer to speak to faces. Hello. Is that question of, do you feel equipped? And Georgina used a phrase right early on in this conversation about authority. I don't have any authority over them, right? So coaching is not about authority, is it? It's about facilitation. It's about standing to the side, being alongside them, asking the questions, being what Sam Moyne calls a heart with ears, but also, and being honest and being boundaried. And it's an entire skill set. It's an entire skill set. So the question that I want to wrap up this conversation with is, and Lucy, if you don't mind, because you're not on mute, I'm going to call on you first, is that question of, do you feel equipped?
Yeah, I mean, my knee-jerk reaction was no, because I just have been in a lot of situations where I just thought, what the bloody hell do I do here? This isn't part of my job spec, right? But then, like, as a person, I do. It's just like how much of myself as a person and those skills that I have outside of being a tutor do I allow through that? Through that boundary, and like perhaps we can see that boundary as being super, super important and absolutely essential, but maybe it's a boundary that things can get through by osmosis rather than sort of breaking it down and not having it, or having it so tight that nothing else can kind of get through. It's like maybe we can just be a bit more fluid about those things without getting rid of the boundary
And
altogether, because we are
possibly,
in.
yeah, and possibly that's about being intentional.
Yeah, that is such a good word. Yeah, and like Jenna mentioned that word as well. I think right at the beginning about like intentionally building a network, and it's such an important word. So yeah, totally. So yes and no.
So yes and no, absolutely right. And that distinction that you've made about professionally and personally. As a human, I feel equipped to help humans. As a tutor, I'm not sure I feel equipped to help students or to coach students in these ways. And that becomes really interesting because you can coach your best friend, you know. Can you coach your daughter?
I can try. Yeah, I do try. I try all those different things. It's like, yeah, my mum, yes, I'm your mate. We can learn through play. Yes, I can coach her as and say, let's talk it out. There's like, it's just like another tool that you can use. So it's like, yeah, it being a tutor, there is a strong element of coaching. And yeah, it's like just something that we have in our toolbox, but we also need coaching as well, don't we, to deal with those situations.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the closer we get, the more we need. Jenna, go ahead.
I think it's also to depersonalize a little bit. Like, we all do this because we believe in it and we have a vested interest in what we do. And that means that we sometimes fight really hard to do the right thing, to be enough. And even when it feels easy, sometimes it's really hard to step away and be really objective because you're there, you're in it, you're living it, you're part of it. And even though you're this outside person in the environment, you're still in it.
So that's interesting.
And sometimes you just need someone
Does coaching
outside.
require objectivity?
No, doesn't have to, but it's a degree of separation. And I think it's that someone outside of your own brain. And in the tech world, it's often called rubber ducking, because you could do it to a rubber duck, but having that feedback, that external,
And it's sort
throw
of
your own
where
thoughts back.
Lucy said about boundaries and osmosis, it made me think about like a no man's land, like creating just a blank space between the things. And where you're talking about creating space or distance in a helpful way, where you're intentional about your proximity, yeah? Where you're really thinking about where are you and where is the student and how enmeshed are you and how much clear space is between you.
And
There's so
how much
much,
accountability?
what's that?
Accountability too, and holding you to that and maintaining that.
We haven't discussed the power of accountability and coaching. We shall come back to this in 6 weeks' time because I've got the next 6 weeks scheduled. James Holton, you worked really hard in this session and you were awesomely honest. And Jenna coached you, didn't she? James, what are your thoughts about whether or not you feel equipped as a coach in tutoring?
Some days I feel equipped, some days I don't feel equipped. It depends what side of bed I get out on, to be fair. Sometimes I feel it like if I'm not feeling great in myself, then I'm like, well, how can I be telling other people or helping other people?
So glad you got to that. None of us are perfect humans. We're not pretending to be. That's not what a coach is. Yeah. You don't even have to be two steps ahead. You just have to be equipped to help them to do their thinking. Does that sound right, James?
And I think sometimes it is just about turning up. Sometimes I just say to the student, it's just, you've turned up today, you've given it your all. Might not have been the best, it might not have been the best session ever for that you've done, you know, but you were tired and you turned up.
Have you seen that lovely visual that our best is different on different days? Some days best is here and some days best is here. And as long as I'm giving it all that's there, that's all I can give you.
Because a lot of the times I say to the students as well, because I think it's true in life, see, is it's actually performing, it's actually turning up when you don't want to.
Beautiful.
It's
I'm going to
like,
pause you there, James, because you've touched on so many things, but I have to give Sue and Georgina a closing comment.
okay.
But that thing about showing up even when you don't want to is absolutely about adulting and about regulating. It's absolutely showing them how to live. Sue, go for it. Do you feel equipped?
I feel more equipped than I did 5 years ago. I think the important thing is not to get complacent, though. We can add
Where do you want to be in
toolbox
2 years,
to
Sue?
toolbox. retired, really. I'm completely honest. No, I can't imagine retiring completely, but I would like to move away from the little ones because I am mindful that they take quite a lot of energy, you know, and doing a phonics session like with rhymes and stuff is great fun. But I actually am finding that increasingly I would like to be just working on the GCSE English because I like books. I do books.
Yeah, me too. I've got to pause you because we're
That's where I'd
running out
like
of
to be.
time, but that was a fantastic answer. Thank you. Georgina?
Yeah, I've just realised the most important part of what I do is just accepting the fact that I don't know everything, but I want to do a good job and I'm enjoying myself. So it's fine not to know everything.
Ah, you're a healthy human. That's right. Just role modeling that healthfulness and that willingness is the best we can do. Congratulations to you guys because you're awesome. Trusted adults for students who need trusted adults is that's the role. That's what we've signed up for. Thank you for participating. Please get in touch, stay in touch, stay connected, safe, skilled, and supported. All the good things. Lots of love. Thanks, James. Thanks, Georgina. Thanks, Lucy. Thanks, Sue. Thanks, Jenna.
Thanks.
Thanks,
That was a
thank you.
lovely first session. Thank you so much for having me, and it's really nice to meet you all.
Your
Really good.
enthusiasm is infectious. We appreciate you. Thanks, Emil. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.